Well, as Paul the Apostle said, grace and peace and greetings be to you all in the name of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome tonight to our landmark midweek service. And I have good news for you. We are getting ready by popular request. So many of you have asked us now that we've opened up, when are we going to do our Wednesday night service? Well, we are going to start Wednesday night service on April 28th. And so we're looking so forward to that. May have a few little changes, but we are so excited about that. So 2 more weeks, a week from next week. So we will be there, but we plan to still stay on Facebook with you, for those of you that are still at home. By the way, thank you guys so much for watching. I'm so glad you're here with me tonight. I feel like I'm right here in the building with you. But I love you, and I certainly do appreciate the Holy Spirit being here with me. He's always with me here. And I also have some other good news for you. Many of you have probably already heard by now that little baby Elena Ramona Jimenez was born this morning just before 9 o'clock. Faith went into the hospital to give birth to that little angel. And so she is here. We've already seen pictures of her, and she's gorgeous, and we can't wait to meet her in person. And while I was at the beach for about 4 or 5 days, we had 3 babies born that week. It was so amazing. And in the last year or 2 years, we've had 10 babies. So I'm telling you, it's time to enlarge that nursery and that toddler's for sure. So let me just mention a couple of other things. Now, your masks are now optional. You don't have to wear the mask to church, but it's optional. If you want to wear it, please do. And hugging is still optional. We enjoyed getting to hug each other last week that we hadn't hugged in over a year. But some of you, you still want to take safeguards. That's fine. Help yourself. Do that. Feel free to do it. And that's your decision. So we're just happy to be back together and coming back into Wednesday night. And children, I tell you, very soon we'll have classes for you as well. We are working on that. And folks, thank you so much for being so faithful in your giving. I want to encourage you to continue. We've made it just as easy as we could to cause you to be able to continue to give with texting, giving, dropping it off, sending it in, bringing it on Sundays, however you want to. But thank you. I feel like that we've been like Isaac. We have sown in a dry and a thirsty land. America has just had her share of problems and difficulty for the past year and a half, and still carrying into this year. And I shouldn't just say America, but around the world. But you know what? We have continued to sow our tithe and our offerings, and the Lord has certainly blessed Landmark and its people and other churches that are giving as well. So thank you guys so much. Let me just bless our offering right now. And I have mine right here. So I always make it out before I come in here. But let's bless our offering and pray for Faith as she has delivered that little baby. Also, Tiffany called me today, and her Uncle John has 4-stage cancer. So we're going to believe God to just show them what to do. And we call for a miracle. In the name that's above every name that is named, Father, we want to bring first those of our own house. And that would be tonight, Faith and little baby Elena. So, Lord, we bless Reyes and Faith and little Reyes, the grandparents. Lord, they're so excited. And Faith and Reyes, just seeing them start their new family is so exciting. I love to see it as a pastor. And I just love it all the way around to watch new life begin. So, Lord, we bless those two. And prayerfully, they'll be home tomorrow. We bless them in Jesus' name. Also, for Derek's Uncle John, Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct them. Lord, kill every one of those cells of cancer. Lord, those cancerous cells that would desire to take his life, that means to kill. I believe in this day, we will see many that will live, and they will live because of the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you in your giving. May it return to you 100 times over in a mighty harvest. Well, let me get started right now. I want to go into the Word of God And we had a wonderful service Sunday, and it was so good to see some of you back. But we're just praying that God, while God is doing new things, this is a new era. It's a new era. It's a new day to see what God is going to do. But with that said, I want to say, on my way to the office this morning, I was thinking about America, and, you know, it seems that COVID now is the least of our worries, and Trump, you know, God's going to take care of that, the illegal voting and everything, but everything is just turned upside down, and now there's such lawlessness, and socialism is trying to work its way in, and Marxism, it's all just trying to work its way in, and this is the time that God's people are going to have to stand. And while I was thinking about that, on my way to the office, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance a portion of scripture in the book of Revelation, and Jesus said, they did it to me, they will do it to you, they will do it to my kids. Let me read it to you. It happened long before he was born, and the Bible says this, Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 4 and 5, Revelation 12, 4 and 5. The dragon, I'm going to read the B part. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. Now, the minute that baby was born, that dragon stood back ready to devour that child and just take it right up. And I'll tell you what, the minute we were born again, he started in on us. Can I tell you that? But John 10:10 said that Satan came to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's still doing that same old plot, that same old plan. And the reason Jesus got out of it, look at this. It says the woman bore a male child. She bore Jesus. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. All right, stop a minute and listen to this. Here's what I see in that. Satan knows that we're God's people. We're his children, and we were born again. So here he comes. He's after us, but we are going to escape, just like the Bible told us in 1 Corinthians we would. Some don't like to talk about the rapture. They call it escapism. I don't care what they call it. Call it what you want. We are going to escape this world. We are going to be out. And so he said, we will be caught up together. Right here it says, her little child was caught up to God in his throne. And you and I, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with our Lord. And so he knows that his time is short. And that's why he is still coming after God's people every way that he can. All right, well, that's all I'm going to say about that, but that's just a portion of why he's chasing us around the table in every way that he can. But Jesus said, look, God lifted me up to sit in high places with him. And he said, I sat far above principalities and powers. And then he said he made us to sit with him in high places. So we sat far above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So when we pray, we look down on the issues. We look down on the mess. We look down on the trials and the tribulations of the current day. We pray from a position of heaven, sitting right there with Jesus and the Father in the throne room, looking down on it, because we are high and lifted up far above principalities and powers. Amen. All right, now we are going to go over to Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to read you two more portions of scripture tonight, and I'm going to call my message for those of you that put the, Brother Rick, you put it together on the website. It's going to called Get Shovel Ready. And let me say, I appreciate Brother Rick working with us daily. He's a great bookkeeper. He takes such good care of our finances. And Pastor Lindell doing a great job. And I can't tell you, men, how much I appreciate you being with me in the office and doing all we do for the church. Thank you. Isaiah 43, Could we look at that? Now, don't shout me down on this because you've heard this scripture many, many times. Many of you that were raised in church cut your teeth on it. But listen to Isaiah 43:18. This is a message from God the Father through the prophet Isaiah. Do not remember the former things. Now, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now I want to read that to you from the Amplified Version. I read that kind of fast, but listen to this. Amplified. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. And this is the part, folks, we've got to watch out for. Because he asks us the question, will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I love that. He said, I will even make a road, because he knew in this life we were going to have terrible dry and long seasons of wilderness. But he said, I will even put a road in your wilderness, and I will put rivers in the desert. And I want to tell you that we literally saw that when we went to Israel. We literally saw roads through the place, the wilderness where the children of Israel walked for those 40 years. There are roads now in that wilderness, and there are rivers all over the desert of Israel. It's just amazing. And he said, I would do it. Now, let me remind you, everything that God says, it happens. Everything that he prophesied in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament, cleared down to the very words that Jesus spoke on the cross. So if he did it before, he will do it again. He will remember you again. If he helped you once, he will help you again. So don't ever let the devil come and distract you and say, no, this one's too big. I got out of that, but I don't know if I'll get out of that. That's just a lie from the enemy. So, and listen to this, verse 21, before we go elsewhere. He says this, this people I have formed for myself, and they will declare my praise. Now, I'm wondering when he says, don't keep looking back at the things of old, because I'm not going to do it like I did before. Now, he has never repeated one mighty act in this Bible. You don't see things just the same way over and over and over. And so he said, I formed this people, the ones who will follow me and listen and look forward. Quit looking backwards. Somebody said 90%, science says this, 90% of our thinking, 90% is past. Now, I don't know how they prove that, but they said 90% of our thinking has to do with the past. So if only 10% has to do with the future, let's keep it right here in the now and in the future. Expect great things. Get your hope there. Because God says this kind of people that looks forward and not backwards, they're going to declare my praise. And I'm going to tell you, get ready, because we are going to declare his praise in more than just a song. I know for years people have almost worshiped, but this praise, he said, now you are going to declare my praise. So I just don't want to miss it, folks, and I don't want you to miss it either. I can tell you right now at Landmark, we are not going to miss it by looking back. In fact, Sunday, I think I told you, I felt instructed, and it took me a couple years to do it, because I'd studied the revivalists for so long, ever since I was about 18 years old, and I had huge pictures of the revivalist up on the front wall of our church, high up. And the Lord began to move on me to take those down, because they were a thing of the past, and that we were to replace them with the new. Now, I don't know what that's going to be, or who that's going to be, or how that's going to be, but they're down now. The walls are painted. Those were taken down. So I don't know if I ever told you that, but that's why we took them down. Because something new is coming. And you know this, according to the New Testament, He said, I am not going to put new wine in old bottles. I'm not going to put new wine in old wineskins or old bottles, lest the new wine will break the wineskin and then they'll both be lost. He's not going to put, he said, I will not put a new cloth on old material. I will not do that. So folks, the old is over. It's done. Now we will use it to help us to learn from the past, but we're not going to live in the past. Now, if I have to tell you that every week, we're going to have to let the past go. Even things that happened in your family, things that happened in your childhood, things that you didn't like in that ex-marriage, you're just going to have to let it all go. Bygones be bygones. That's over and done. Now, in the Old Testament, it does tell us this. Isaiah said, do not remove the ancient landmarks. Now, that's a whole different subject, but they used to mark their boundaries, the borders of their land or the boundaries of their land by stones and by rocks. And if the neighbor would go out and move those rocks a little bit ever so often, then his land would increase and the other guy's land would decrease. So God said, don't be moving those ancient landmarks in the faith. See, they spoke in parables so that we would understand. And those people understood what they were talking about. So folks, we can't throw away while talking about not looking back and remembering the things of old, but there's some spiritual things we must really hold on to. We can't remove like the full gospel. We can't remove the gospel of Jesus. We would never want to do that. But I want to tell you right now, you know, we are not like the early church. We are not like the followers of Jesus. We are a 2,000-year-old church. We do things differently. We sing differently. We worship differently. The word is different. And we've removed a lot of ancient landmarks. There's a lot of things that we've thrown out over the, not just decades, but over the centuries and over now the millenniums. We've thrown them out. So, and you know, it's the truth. We've got every kind of gospel. We've got every kind of Christian TV programs that you can imagine. And I'm happy we have Christian TV. Thank God for it. And I love Facebook and social media that brings us, like I got to watch the entire Fresh Fire Conference from Nashville the other day, and I loved it. But there's a lot of stuff we really have to be careful with. Now, many today consider the gospel of Jesus totally obsolete and old-fashioned and legalistic. Well, if there's ever one thing you cannot throw out, it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was born, he died, he raised from the dead, he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he's coming back to get us. That's the gospel of Christ. That's a gospel we believe and we preach. We are not going to be ashamed of it. And another thing that many, many churches have thrown out, and many Pentecostal churches have thrown out, the language of the Holy Spirit. You mentioned speaking in tongues, and they don't want to hear it. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed of it. They are ashamed of his giftings. They don't want the gifts working in the church, the miracles and signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and casting out devils. They would put you in the back room if any of that happened, to be slain in the spirit. Well, some Pentecostal churches would just ask you to leave. I heard a Pentecostal church the other day, a very charismatic church, saying, if you speak in tongues or you fall out in the spirit, we'll take you in the back room and ask you to leave. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Now, that's an ancient landmark that has been removed. So I just want to say, folks, and that's not even mentioning when they say, excuse me, I'm seeing the sun come through here, but I'm not even mentioning the rapture of the church. Many don't even believe in the rapture of the church anymore. And some of them, if I mentioned those men's names today, I would discourage so many of you that do not believe in the rapture of the church. It's just a sad thing. Well, all I can say, folks, is we better get shovel ready. Now, I remember President Obama talking about be shovel ready. Well, nobody ever got shovel ready. You know, They didn't do the infrastructure building, and they didn't do all they said they were going to do. And nobody's shovel ready, and we've still got bridges falling down and all kinds of things happening. So let's turn over. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 26, one of my favorite stories. I love to read this, but I'm just going to read you a few verses. Most of you are acquainted. Some of you have never heard this in your life, but let me read to you. Now, Abraham, you know, he was one of the great, great fathers of the faith. Our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? That was dad, son, and grandpa. I want to talk to you about Isaac tonight, Abraham's son. But Abraham was a man of altars, a man of tents, and a man of digging wells. He provided water for the people of Israel. I mean, water flourished in those days because of Abraham. Well, Abraham died, and that's where we're going to pick it up. But his son, Isaac, had saw old dad dig those wells, and his servants dug those wells for fresh water for the animals and for the people for years and years. But listen what happened when Abraham died. This is starting reading in Genesis 26, verse 15. Please listen closely. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called him by names which his father had called him. So Abraham named all the wells. Now, we preach many messages on the names of those wells. I don't know that I'll get into that tonight. But I do want to talk about a couple of things here that I see happening right here in America today. And we need to hear this. Now, the fathers of the faith had a lot of open wells in the word and worship and holiness and evangelism and prayer, sanctification. So all these wells were dug, and yet many of them have been stopped up. And you said stopped up by who? By who? Well, by the enemy of the church. The enemy, Satan, comes and fills men's minds with things to make them think, okay, this thing has to be done. We don't want this in our church. It's either got to be this way or that way. But listen to this. It says, when Abraham died, they had filled the wells with earth. They filled them with dirt, stopped them up with dirt. So what did Isaac do? Isaac moved down into the valley and got away from one stopped up well. And he took his servants and they went down there. They dug up the wells and they hit water and they dug up another well. And the reason, listen to this, I thought, why would anyone want to stop up a water well? Now, would you do that? A couple of years ago, we had such a crisis here in Porterville, and people's wells were going dry. And I can tell you right now, they were crying the blues, and they were having to bring in these huge tubs as big as this room of water. And but it was really a sad thing. And I'm thinking, why would anyone want to stop up a well with dirt? And here's the answer. It says that they stopped up the wells with earth because Abimelech came to Isaac and he said, "You are much mightier than we. You're too strong for us." And that's why the world is trying to shut up the church right now. The world came against the church and they wanted to stop up everything. I don't know if you saw Flashpoint last night, but the pastor from Canada, the Polish brother, he was on there. You should pull it up on the internet if you haven't seen it. Watch Flashpoint. I think it was the 13th, April 13th, last night, and see this Polish, I forgot his name, pastor, you saw him from Canada, telling the police to get out of the church. They came and invaded the church on Easter. No other church is just his, because there were more of them. He feeds the poor, takes care of people. And he said, out. He would not permit them to stay. He dug a well, and he was going to keep fresh water running. He was not going to let them fill that with earth to say, hey, you're mightier than us. We don't want you around here. Shut these doors and go home. And this mighty man of God said, I will not shut my doors and go home. You go home. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you talking to me. Get out. This is private property. We're having a church service, and you are not going to interrupt us this day. Go home, get a warrant, do what you're going to do. He said, I've got $1 million worth of fines and a bunch of papers on my desk where they're threatening me. And he said, there's no cause for it, and I'm not going to bow to it. So, folks, there's a lot of things we may be looking at, but I can tell you right now, you're going to a church. We are not going to bow, and we are not going to burn to it either. We're going to stand up. And I'm telling you right now, if they ever come into our church, when I stand up, then whatever, if I say out, you shout out with me. If I stand up, you get up. Let's walk out together, okay? Or walk them out together. But we're going to dig some wells, and we are going to keep fresh water flowing into our city. We cannot let them plug up the church and shut it down because they know Jesus is most powerful. You say, do they really? Well, they may not, but Satan knows that. And Satan knows this whole thing's about to wrap up. And that's why he's fighting so hard to shut down these wells. So that's why would they ever curse themselves? Some people's hate in America today, it's like they're cutting their own throats because of their hatred for Trump and the conservative movement and the people that stood behind him and protected our babies and protected freedom of speech and protect religious liberties and gun rights. This is why they're coming against us like a mob. They are a mob. They're burning cities down again. So church, I'm just saying, they brought a curse on themselves because their hate was so terrible. And Isaac would just, sometimes he would leave that town and go dig another well. And he would go dig another well. And they would just keep digging wells. But let me remind you, you've heard me say it before, when revival comes, it has never, ever came through a church complacency. When the church gets complacent and lazy, and we don't care about coming to church, the spiritual things aren't exciting to us anymore, revival will never come to you when you're complacent. It never comes without much prayer and thirst. And I can tell you right now, this mighty man of God named Isaac, he was a man of prayer, and he was a thirsty man, and his people were a thirsty people. And that's why he provided water for them. And I can tell you right now, I know you, Landmark, you are a thirsty people. And you that are watching tonight, I can't see your names right now, but I'm telling you, you are a thirsty people. And revival comes to those who pray and those who are thirsty. So don't miss it, and do not allow the devil to stop up your wells. Now, I know tonight I'm not just talking about church wells. I'm talking about your own private wells as well. Don't allow him to come and cover up your wells of hope. Some of you may be bedridden or chair-ridden, and you can't even go out or hardly walk. But I'm telling you, do not allow that devil to cover up your wells of hope, because you still have fresh water because of the fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if there's any among you that thirst, you come to me and drink, and I will fill you up. Some of you, it's sad, but you meet people all the time. Christian people. Some have missed a wonderful life of peace and contentment. You know why? Because of this very thing. Something happened along the way. Something happened along the way, and they didn't understand it. And they stopped up. They let their fountain get all stopped up. Now, there's things that happen in life. One time we had a healing evangelist in the church, and my sister and brother-in-law, the girls were there, and there were all kinds of healings and miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, people were even receiving gold teeth. It was an amazing thing. Some teeth even grew in. It was just the most amazing thing. And some of the people, I mean, Catherine Kuhlman used to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God Some people came in saying, this is my day, yet they didn't get their healing and others did. And I remember my little niece, Ashley, he said, if you want a miracle and you want that miracle, come up here tonight. And so she went with many others. And in 2 weeks later, she had a bleeder on her lung and she died. So, you know, my sister and brother-in-law could have looked at that and said, we don't get that. We don't understand that. But they were spiritual enough to just dig another well. They knew that God's ways are not our ways. God sees the whole picture, and we see this, we see that much of it. And so when you start looking at what you don't understand, I don't get it, I don't understand. Listen, it'll stop up your well every time. You know what happened? My sister was in the pulpit the following Sunday leading worship. On that Sunday, she led worship, and her daughter had just been buried on Thursday. How does that happen? It's freshwater wells welling up within us. So do not let the devil take your peace when things happen that you don't understand. Now, I also want to say maybe some of you have thrown away something and let the clean water wells just be filled with dirt. And you no longer drink that water. You no longer believe that way. Maybe you're not even going to church, not because of COVID, but you just don't want to go. You have no spiritual energy anymore. You just don't care. You don't miss church. And that's why you're feeling, if your wheels are stopped up, listen, I'll tell you, that's why you're feeling that spiritual dryness. That's why you're feeling that spiritual weariness. You're just weary. That's why you're feeling that immaturity. You feel like a little child. That's why you're feeling that spiritual weakness. You just feel like a weakling, like I don't want to have any spiritual strength. Well, you better hear what I'm talking about tonight. Maybe your freshwater wells that Jesus gave you when you were born again, you went to him and drank fresh water. Well, folks, drink again. You say, how do I do that? Go to him now. Father, I pray that right now freshwater wells will be opened up. Remove the dirt. Remove the slush. Remove it all out so we can drink of that fresh water again. Hallelujah. Got to start digging. I just feel so bad that I think sometimes we're 2,000 years down the road and we've heard it so much that we just get the wells stopped up. And church, every generation's had to do its work. When you study revival, when just reading your Bible through, I don't know if you've ever read your Bible through, but you just need to start. You don't have to wait till the first of the year. Begin at the first of the year. Start reading your Bible through. When you're finished, just start reading it all over again. That's how you do it. You just keep reading it again. And you'll see that every generation has had its work to do. And we're required and expected to do that work. That's why God put us in these special places where we live in these generations. So we got to get ready to go so we can start digging, folks. And please, 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 let me just say this before we move on. Some people today, and you don't need to be a prophet to know this because you see it all the time, are looking for water. Unfortunately, they're looking for that satisfaction in so many wrong places. They look to social media. They look to people. They look to the world. They look to entertainment. I've just got to be doing this. I got to be going there. I've got to be having this. And if my husband and I have a little issue, then I can't hardly get over it. I'm all tore up for 5 days. That's ridiculous. Come on, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get that thing fixed. Get it fixed and take care of it. Come on, dig that well of love. Dig that new well of love. Keep digging your well of love. Dig that well of grace. Maybe you're short on grace or mercy, but let's just keep digging it because we got to, church. We have to have these fresh water wells unstopped. Jesus is coming soon, and we want revival to come up on this world and to America and in our churches and into our homes and into our own personal lives. Then we're going to have to unstop these wells, and we will unstop them in the Word. Read your Bible. Maybe your well of the Word is stopped up. You haven't read your Bible. You have not been reading your Bible. Listen, you have to put some of this in you every single day, whether it's two verses or a chapter. My mother, I remember I taught my mother to read the Bible. She's 70 years old. And I taught her to read, and I said, Mom, this word is health to your flesh. If you'll read it, it'll change your life. And sure enough, it did. She had a clean bill of health shortly after that. And I'll tell you, it says, she began to read because I told her, you know, the Bible says, eat the lamb. If you're a large, in Exodus chapter 12, if you're a large family, take two lambs. If you're a small family, just take one lamb or invite people over. So I said, Mom, just eat the word. You have more time than me. Now I study all the time. So I'm just for reading pleasure. I'm going to read less than you will because I got to study. But you can read as much as you want. She says, well, I'm going to read 7 chapters in the old and 7 in the new. And I'm going to tell you, it changed her life. What did she do? She unstopped a well. And what she did, oh my gosh. And she even moved into prosperity, a brand new prosperity that she had never enjoyed and lived. I'm talking about excessive prosperity and blessing financially. So we uncover those wells of worship, the wells of prayer. Maybe you don't pray that much. You gotta have a secret place. Get a secret place, build it onto your home, put a little chair in your closet, go in your bathroom, lock the door so the kids can't come in, but dig that well. Sanctification, living holy, living right before God. Quit that cussing. Quit those bad words. Get those bad words out of your mouth. They're in your head or they wouldn't come out your mouth. Come on, dig a fresh well of sanctification. Live a new well of holiness. Okay, watch your clothing. Summer's coming, ladies. Women of God, it's going to sound really old-fashioned and legalistic, but you've got no reason, women, to be wearing those shorts up to your groin. You shouldn't even wear short shorts at all. I'm telling you, there's lust out there, and if you cause a man to lust, you say, well, I'm not the cause. No, you could. You need to keep your shirt up so you don't show too much of your cleavage. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, ladies, come on now. We're talking about we need to redig some wells of sanctification and of holiness. Carry ourselves in a different manner. When you're dating your loved one, when you're dating your boyfriend, your girlfriend, we're talking about lust, okay? Get rid of that thing. Come on, respect each other and dig that well of holiness. How about obedience? Well, that's a whole new ball game. I mean, did you know today in the church and being a servant, it's hard, and I talk to other pastors. It's hard to get people to work in the nursery. It's hard to get people to do security. It's hard to get people to teach Sunday school. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard. When we were growing up in the church, servanthood was everything. Today, people just want to sit in there and get fat on the word. And I'm glad about that. I want you to be fat, but you'll get fatter if you read it yourself. Come to the service, partake. But we're starting another service. And if we have to do another church service on Wednesday night, we'll do that. If you will work. Okay, we just need some more help in all of these areas. Parking attendants, security, teachers. So pray about, you don't even have to pray about it. If somebody asks you, just say, I'll serve my God. You're not serving pastor. You're not serving Landmark. You are serving God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about digging up wells of servanthood. Digging up wells of evangelism. Who testifies now? Who would testify to someone at Starbucks? Okay, we got to redig that well too. Well, yeah, but I'm just not cut out for evangelism. You know, that's Debbie so-and-so. You know, she goes out there on the streets. Not talking about just you. Talking about the person you work with. Talking about the person that God puts right in your face during the day. Okay, all of these things must be redug. And I hear the Lord saying, pick up the shovel now. Be shovel ready and ready to go. Please don't forget your personal wells. I know we're talking about the church too, but and I can tell you this. You know, when I talk to people who are in depression, I can tell them, you know what you're depressed about. And most of the time you can tell when it started. And if your wells in your personal life, in your marriage, in your home, with your joy, with your strength, if your well has been stopped up, most of the time you can remember where you stopped up that well. You know good and well what stopped it up, that took your joy and took your spiritual strength. You know, you don't need a prophet to come and tell you. So, you know, we hear it all the time. Then we hear many say, well, those were the good old days, Pastor. I just wish it was like it was back at Loxana or back at the old church. No, those weren't the good old days. These are the good old days. These are the best days. Our best days and our greatest days are ahead of us. Okay, those days are over. They're gone. God said, don't look back to the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. I am even, he said, going to create and make a road in the wilderness, and I will put rivers in your desert. So if you want a river in your desert, start digging those wells by reading your word, talking to God, believing him, trusting him, and praying. Amen. Now listen, while we've been busy, I know as a pastor, we've been busy fussing over what we believe and what others believe. We listen to them on TV and we go away fussing about it. And we fuss about it with others. Did you hear what he said? And it's this way or it's that way. And did you notice in today's world about doctrine, as far as doctrine and what the churches believe, it either has to be all this or all that. Some believe it has to be all men or all women. But can I tell you today, it's going to be like it was in the early church when grace came. It's going to be both. It's going to be both. It either has to be all faith and no works. It's all faith, no works. No, it's going to be both faith and works. This is the way it's going to be. It's going to be both. Today, it either has to be a young church or an old church. You see, the young people taking over worship. It's got to either be young or old. No, we're going to have both passion and wisdom. God said, I want to tell you tonight, God says it's going to be both. We're going to come together. It's going to be even Stephen because of the work of the Holy Ghost. And then the churches divide on it. Either has to be the gifts of the Spirit, but it can't be the fruits. Or it's only the fruits and not the gifts. No, it's going to be the gifts and the fruits. You'll wait and see. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be in operation. You'll see it happen in these last hours. Oh, this is a good one. Some today preach. It's going to be all grace and no works. All grace, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to be obedient. In fact, one says you don't even have to repent. That's Joseph Prince, by the way. You don't even have to repent because you've already been forgiven. So all grace, no obedience, no repentance. Well, I got news for that handsome little Joseph Prince. It's going to be everything, and he should know better than that because he's been in ministry a long time. It's going to be both grace, you're going to have works, we're going to have obedience, and we're going to have holy living. It's going to be all of it together. That's God's way. And it has to be all prayer and no action. Now, action, they'll teach, you cannot make it happen. Pray about it. It's going to be prayer and action. You'll see them both coming together. And some churches, they battle over, oh, they preach too loud. They yell too loud. It's either preaching or teaching. Well, we teach. Well, in the South, they say, we preach, teach. It doesn't matter what you do. Just be anointed. The anointing is what God is after. It's after the unction. So it's going to be preaching and teaching brought together and under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be small churches, and there's going to be mega churches, and there's going to be little churches. And the little churches cut back the mega churches, and the mega churches say, well, the little church pastors must not be doing anything. But I can tell you, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and all who are hungry, and all who want him. There's going to be contemporary services. And there's going to be traditional services. These guys can wear their flip-flops and their shorts, and others will wear their jeans, and others will wear a three-piece suit. Now, why are the contemporary, the guy that wants to wear his long-tail cowboy shirt with his jeans and his flip-flops, why does he want to cut back the guy in the three-piece suit or two-piece suit? What does he care about that? It's not in the man's clothes. And why does a dressed up guy want to cut the guy back who's dressing like that? He's a young man. But I can tell you what, God says, as long as you're modest, I'm gonna bring it in with everybody. See, God says, I'm not looking at your outward appearance. I'm looking at your heart. And church, I'm telling you, this thing's fixing to turn so quickly into a heart mode, and it won't be our hearts, it'll be the heart of God. And the heart of God is what's going to change this thing. And it's going to be holiness and relevance. Well, people say today, if you have a church walking in holiness, then you must not be relevant. You're legalistic if you talk holiness. No, it's going to be both. We're both going to be a relevant church. We're going to be updated. We're going to be walking in the glory. We will know. Paul said we can speak to any man. Paul was an intellect, and some of the other fishermen, they were ignorant men and they were unlearned. But the Bible said that many would look at them and say, "Ooh, we're amazed because we see them unlearned, but we see that they have been with Jesus." And that's what people are going to know about us. Whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're an intellect or ignorant. He said, "I look at the heart." And this anointing, this presence is going to come on all flesh. Folks, listen, we are in one of the greatest days that ever have been. And to think that he chose you and I to live in this generation, he has some kind of confidence in you. He has confidence in me that we can handle this, that we got our shovels and we can dig those wells again, the wells of our fathers. And it takes prayer and action both. It's going to take both prayer and works. And it'll be his way, not the highway, not my way or the highway. It's going to be his way by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to help us. He's going to show you where your wells have been covered up with dirt. But I promise you, he's going to come and help you undig every one of those. Because this, write it down, folks, this is going to be a new wine era. This is what it's going to be. And this is going to be a special Holy Spirit era of time. It won't matter what anybody says, what they think, whether they like it or whether they don't. God is not asking them, "What do you think? How do you think I should bring this glory in?" He's just going to do it. It'll be on his time frame, in his time schedule. God's not locked into time. He does not care how long we've been expecting. He just says, keep expecting. And I'll tell you, I've heard this from Steve Hill and probably John Lake and Smith Wigglesworth and Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple, any of those great revivalists would tell you that the amount, the level of revival that comes will be due to the level of repentance and prayer that comes with church, that comes out of the people of God. So repent. Pray, get ready, folks. It's time to time to dig. And remember this, it's not going to be either or. It's going to be both. And we are going to enjoy this. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be well worth it because God said, "I will not have an old, wrinkled up church that I'm coming for." Now, Sal and Adriana's getting ready to get married. Micah and Zach are getting ready to get married. And do you think that those young men started going around looking for an old wrinkled up woman? They didn't do that. Their brides, I had marriage counseling with them both in the last week. Those women are beautiful. The men are handsome. There's no wrinkles. They're fresh. Okay, that's how Jesus said, "I'm coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle. I don't want you living in the past." They don't want a girl all used up. And God said, "I don't want a church all used up. I don't want you all tore up. I'm coming for you." He didn't mean spiritual wrinkles. He said, "I want you living in the past because I'm doing a new thing. I want you living in right now." Amen. So how many of you are going to dig with me? I can see your hands. I mean, I can feel your hearts. I know you guys. And you know what? Sometimes I think of you guys and some of the stuff you've been through. I don't even know how you made it through. But all I know is by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's the one that was there. And he's the one that helped us get through. And many of you have undug some wells. I mean, I'm just not talking. Maybe your great-great-grandmother, grandfather had some deep wells. Now, there was no preachers on either side of my family, either side, my mom's side or my dad's side. So I dug some wells in here myself by reading after some of the great revivalists and the help of the Holy Spirit. Some of you were the same way. But I'm telling you, we're in a good day. In the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up our voices and we want to make a commitment to you tonight that, Lord, you put that spiritual shovel in our hand. Bring to our minds, bring to that brother watching and that sister watching. I pray, Lord, that there will be a level of repentance and a level of prayer and a level of Bible reading and a level of the word and a level of holiness and sanctification in us that will measure no other. That more preachers, teachers, evangelists, and missionaries will come out of Landmark Christian Center than any other church. That, Lord, we will be full of servants of the Lord Most High that will be shovel ready. I will go teach. I will do what I need to do, Pastor. I will clean the church. I can do the sanctuary. Well, I can clean the youth building. Well, I can do this. I will teach. I will preach. I'll go outside. I'll be a parking attendant. I will be in security. I will do what I can do to serve my Lord. I will undig those wells of depression and the wells of sickness and disease. Draw the bloodline, church. Draw the bloodline. You're saved. You're blood bought. And the devil is waiting to try to destroy. He is seeking whom he may devour, but he cannot devour you because we said in the spiritual places with Jesus, we said high and lifted up, high above principalities and powers. In the name of Jesus, amen. If any of you need to repent, you just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I believe you died and rose again. And you're coming back for me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, may be gracious to you, and turn his face toward you in Jesus' name. God bless you. See you Sunday morning.